I've noticed during this coronavirus pandemic that there are two kinds of people. Some have seen this as an opportunity to get really healthy. They've been walking and exercising every day, cooking more at home with really healthy foods and the like. And then there are other people like me. Someone told me they had lost a few pounds during the pandemic. I said, I have found them. My name is Steve West, and I'm senior pastor at ARAB First United Methodist Church, and it's my joy to share this podcast with you today. I invite you to pull up your chair and warm up your coffee, and let's spend a while together. As I've stepped back into more normal rhythms following this craziness, I've fortunately started reversing course on those pounds I gained during the first few weeks of the pandemic. But I thought about this when I read the passage we're focusing on today. And it comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, beginning with verse 7. It reads like this, hear the word of God. Go eat your bread with enjoyment and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has long ago approved what you do. Other translations say God has already accepted your works. It continues, let your garments always be white. Do not let oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that are given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life, and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The readings I've been reflecting on for this week have been fascinating. The New Testament focused on Ephesians, but I was drawn toward the Old Testament readings, which come scan our wisdom literature in the Old Testament. Now, traditionally, wisdom literature, you probably know, refers to three books in the Old Testament, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And as I read these, I remembered how I tend to follow second century church leaders from the Alexandrian school of thought, the ones who perfected the early church art of allegorical reading of scripture, reading the Old Testament in light of Christ. And they saw progression in these three books, from the essentials to the most mature Christianity, from Proverbs to Ecclesiastes to Song of Solomon. And for these fathers and mothers, Proverbs was like wisdom 101. It was embracing the plain truth of simple life-giving wisdom. Examples of that are like Proverbs 38 from this week's readings. A ruler who oppresses the poor is a beating rain that leaves no food. Another is better to be poor and walk in integrity than to be crooked in one's ways, though rich. And so whether we're observing others or in self-reflection, Proverbs is good stuff. It's pithy statements and basic wisdom for life. I did have a parishioner named Lim. She has gone to be with Christ in glory. She had what her husband called limisms. They're little statements of wisdom. And my favorite one, she told me once, if you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. You know, that could have been in Proverbs. Proverbs is essential wisdom for a good life. It's words to live by. Again, it's wisdom 101. On the other end of the spectrum is Song of Solomon. That's the third book in the set. Some Christians, as you know, are uncomfortable with the Song of Solomon. They'd just rather avoid it. It has all that romantic, even erotic imagery in it. But you know, our ancient second century fathers and mothers saw it as wisdom 301. It was very advanced to them. It's deep, incredible, word you can only grasp with maturity. It's an invitation into union with God. Now, some pastors call Song of Solomon an illustration. I don't want to encourage you not to read it in a way that dismisses the romance as mere symbolism, but embrace it as God's way of inviting us into intimacy with God. It's not an illustration. It's an invitation. Song of Solomon is the ultimate wisdom drawing us to God. I think about verses like this verse in chapter 1, where the voice of God says, I am black and beautiful, but don't gaze at me because I am dark. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, and my banner over you is love. I think perhaps the spirit of the Song of Solomon is best encapsulated in another verse in chapter 2. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, for winter is past. Union with God, at least the early Christian fathers and mothers thought so, union with God is the ultimate wisdom. It's what those of us in the Wesleyan tradition call sanctification or Christian perfection. It's being perfected in love. For most of us, we aren't there yet, of course. That's where Ecclesiastes comes in. If Proverbs is wisdom 101 and Song of Solomon is wisdom 301, Ecclesiastes is wisdom 201. It's the deeper wisdom you get when you realize life is tough. It's not what you thought it was in what Richard Rohr and others call the first half of your life, because real stuff happens. Real stuff happens, like coronavirus pandemics. Real stuff happens, like extreme racial tension over police brutality. Real stuff happens, like prolonged denominational splits. Real stuff happens. And for me, Ecclesiastes is the in-between wisdom we can connect with right now. The wisdom of Proverbs is not enough, because all is fleeting. All is vanity. We're chasing after wind sometimes. We get to places in our lives where we realize or we remember that Christianity is not about success and accomplishment and being right and having it all figured out and having all ducks in a row. All that is, well, it's like grass. It will fade and we'll find we're chasing after wind. Chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes says it simply, with many dreams come vanities and a multitude of words. Ministry these days has been like life these days. It's been a learning experience in not only the magnitude of grace, but in the depth of the craziness, the depth of vanity. I'm realizing there are a lot of things that I worry about that really don't matter. And there's some things that really do matter I ought to be worrying about. Real stuff happens, and that's where the wisdom of Ecclesiastes comes in. I will confess, I've gotten some heat from a parishioner or two for my personal support of Black Lives Matter. I don't believe in the looting, but I believe in the movement. I got a text once from a parishioner, and I'll never forget what it said. It said, "Why do you have to keep on mentioning Black Lives Matter? It's a terrorist organization bent on killing white people." And he asked later, "Why don't you give credence to the other side?" I sat with this fella and told him white supremacy is not a side, it's a sin. Yes, it made me angry, but what I'm saying about Ecclesiastes' wisdom, that in-between wisdom, that wisdom 201, that wisdom that all of us is chasing after wind, illustrated, what I'm saying has to do with my anger. It's illustrated by moving from Proverbs wisdom, which says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Well, that's so true, and it guides my behavior, but it doesn't help me with my feelings. But in Ecclesiastes, there's that deeper wisdom. In chapter 7, it says, "Anger lodges in the bosom of fools." Anger lodges in the bosom of fools. Anger is a healthy emotion and can lead to positive action, but we don't need to let it take root in us. That's wisdom 201. So, life's not going to be perfect. There are injustices and horrors out in the world. Sometimes there's heartache and suffering. We go through mind-boggling experiences, and not everybody's going to agree with us. This is the real stuff of life. So, the wisdom of Ecclesiastes is the call to give up on thinking it's supposed to be perfect. Take life as it comes. Find joy in the messiness. But whatever you do, put yourself in it. Let me read that key scripture in chapter 9, verse 7 once again. "Go eat your bread with enjoyment, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has long ago approved what you do. Let your garments always be white. Do not let oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that are given you under the sun, because That is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. I'd like to end with a prayer that I wrote just after the number of coronavirus deaths in the U.S. totaled 50,000, and then I reposted it on Facebook when it reached 100,000. And this is my prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we have sung since we were children that you've got the whole world in your hands. So hold it gently, Lord. Gaze upon it lovingly. Pour out a wave of healing on it in your mercy. Inspire your children upon it to be diligent in our practice of distancing, trusting that it saves lives. Teach those you have created in your image to trust, to persevere, and to remember what's truly most important instead of bickering about things that aren't. Call us to times of silence and patience and understanding. Heal and bless this ball of earth you hold in your hands, Lord. We yearn for restoration in you. Amen and amen.